flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That commander standard is non-negotiable. And the great thing about it is there hasn't been any issues and hiccups with it because that's the culture that we've created here. And so going forward, that's who we are. And so whoever comes in here, that's what you hold your standard to. And that's the great thing about a culture, because before that, like, you know, sometimes anything goes. Like, it's hard, sometimes hard to keep guys accountable, but when you have one sound, one standard, and everybody's holding accountable to it, you got no choice but to live up to that standard and uphold that, because if you don't, you stick out like a sore thumb and you got to buy in. So it's not a threat. It's we take that with great pride, because we built that from the ground up, and we're looking forward to building on that.
It's Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin talking about the standard, the commander standard, being non-negotiable. And I'll say this, the way this group has played over the past 7 weeks, you can bet your ass Terry McLaurin and company mean it when they say the commander standard is non-negotiable. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, we'll be joined by my pal Charles Davis of CBS Sports and the NFL Network. We'll get his thoughts on Championship Sunday coming up in the National Football League. I want to continue to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. I want to take a look at something different here real quick, though. What is the bigger concern for you heading into this game? Because I think, to me, to act as if Washington is going to go into Philadelphia and stop a mud hole in the Eagles, I think it's wishful thinking. I have a lot of respect for that Philadelphia team. I think they're well coached. I think they play hard. And I think similarly to Washington, they're oozing with confidence right now. They feel as if they are the best team in the National Football League. The Eagles genuinely think that way. Tricky thing is, Washington feels that way as well, right? Washington feels that way as well, and they should. Washington went on the road last week and did the unthinkable, knocking off Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. In that game, though, it wasn't all perfect, right? It wasn't all peaches and roses. Yes, Washington ultimately won the football game. Yes, Washington survived and advanced. But when we look at this matchup Sunday against Philadelphia, there are some things Washington must clean up. There are some non-negotiables, so to speak, that Washington must clean up. And one of the things that I look at this game and go, oh, they got to get this corrected, they got to get this shored up, is this Commanders defense. That's the first thing I look at, is can this defense continue to turn folks over? Can this defense continue to be consistent down in and down out? The standard that Terry McLaurin was talking about was not just an offensive side of the football thing, wasn't a defensive side of the football thing, wasn't about special teams. It's about everybody, from players to coaches. That commander standard is real, is legit. And on the defensive side of the football, I think Washington has some soul searching to do. Because as good as it is to force five turnovers, how likely is it that you can replicate that? It's difficult to do. It's difficult to do. The Commanders in the postseason have a league-high 28 points off of turnovers. They talk about ball is life all the time in Ashburn. That is the definition of ball is life. The question is it sustainable? Is it something they can replicate? Five turnovers is five turnovers. It is what it is. But here's my concern about the Commanders on the defensive side of the football. Although they've created a bevy of turnovers since the postseason started, although they've scored off of the turnovers, the question to me is, how is this defense fare when the ball doesn't bounce their way? How does this defense fare when they aren't able to create turnovers? Because last week, from a statistical standpoint, wasn't always pretty. The Detroit Lions put up 521 yards of total offense. It's nothing to sneeze at, right? They averaged 8.7 yards per rush. Nothing to sneeze at, right? Washington has got to find a way to tighten the screws up defensively. They have to. Because if they don't, the Cinderella story may come to an end. If they don't, the other shoe, so to speak, may drop. I'm not wishing on it. I'm being real about it. You've got to be better defensively on Sunday, specifically with stopping the run. And that first half felt like Detroit was averaging 10 yards a pop. Ben Johnson self-sabotaged himself in that football game. Because every time David Montgomery touched the football, it was a win for the Commanders' defense. Jahmyr Gibbs, 14 carries, 105 yards, and two touchdowns. David Montgomery, 7 carries for 28 yards, and measly 4 yards a pop. Ben Johnson is some type of, you know, boy wonder genius, according to most folks in the National Football League. I'll tell you what, can't be that much of a genius if you were stupid enough to take the football out of Jahmyr Gibbs' hands. I'll tell you who's not going to be stupid. Kellen Moore. You think Kenny Gainwell is going to get 10 carries on Sunday? Probably not, because Kellen Moore doesn't have his head shoved up his ass. That's my concern. Will Washington be able to slow down Saquon Barkley? Now, I know what you all are going to say. Well, look at what happened in the last matchup, Linnell. They were great against Saquon. It's a hell of a lot different trying to stop that freakazoid when Jalen Hurts isn't in the backfield. And that was the case the majority of the Week 16 contest. Jalen Hurts was on the shelf. So the numbers game was drastically different in the run game. In Washington, as they should have, right? Kudos to them. They capitalized on it. Will they be able to capitalize on it Sunday? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. The other thing I want to look at, right? Because the defense to me is something that, you know, concerns me a little bit. The other thing that I'm a little bit worried about is this Commanders offensive line. And I know folks are going to say, well, Trent Scott played well last week in relief of Sam Cosmi. He did. You bet your ass he did. I thought Trent Scott did yeoman's work against the Detroit Lions off the bench without a full week of practice. Coming in on short notice and balled. Give you all the credit in the world for that. Can he replicate that performance? Does his coaching staff trust him to replicate that performance? Because Dan Quinn alluded to it during the week. They've given careful consideration to playing their best five offensive linemen on Sunday. And I got to think, it's no disrespect to Trent Scott. No disrespect to Trent Scott. And I said it yesterday when I was on air. I owe Trent Scott an apology. I think we all as a fan base owe Trent Scott an apology. The same guy that plays tackle in the same guy that plays guard. He was much better at guard on Sunday than he was on at tackle throughout the season. It just was a huge difference. And it made me do some research on Trent Scott, a walk-on at Grambling State, and not Doug Williams' Grambling State either, right? A Grambling State that struggled. He played left tackle there for 4 years and gave up 3 sacks in 4 seasons, didn't give up 1 sack during his senior season. Got invited to L.A. Chargers minicamp. Earned himself a roster spot. He's a guy that got it out the mud. So I have an appreciation for Trent Scott and guys that aren't spoon-fed in the National Football League. He's had to earn every penny, every snap that he's gotten in the National Football League. So you bet your ass he was going to be ready on short notice. And he was. Will he be ready Sunday against Jalen Carter? That's my concern. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Javier in Manassas. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Quick history about me. Came to this country back in 1990. It wasn't hard to be a Redskins fan. We won a Super Bowl. And then this year, man, I got a 10-year-old son, 9-year-old daughter. And I think this year, man, just converted them strictly to the burgundy and gold.
Yes, indeedy.
Oh, my goodness. But you know what? Looking back at the tapes, and I'm a military dad, I'm a military son.
We appreciate
even
you,
though
man.
You got your wins and your losses, you got to look where you're, you know, you need to step up your game. You know, we're almost firing in all our cylinders, but we can't overlook their special teams. They made 2 great plays against the Rams, and they started off against Green Bay with a slam of a punch. If you look at the replays, if you look back at the tape, we cannot overlook their special teams. And if we're working as a brotherhood, dude, special teams got to step up 100%.
The game. 100%. But I'll say this, though, Javier. If you've watched this team all year long, Coach Izzo has coached that group up, and they have been one of the best coverage units in all the National Football League. You want to judge and see how good a football team is? Look at how their coverage unit plays. The way they play on kickoff, the way they play on punt.
I'm not saying they're not playing their game, but, man, if you look at if offense is going to do their job, defense is going to do their job,
for sure.
Special teams, we got to play our part.
I totally agree. Right, I appreciate the call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll take a look at how the Philadelphia Eagles will potentially try and defend Jayden Daniels here in this rubber match. That's next on The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll be joined by our pal Charles Davis of the NFL Network and CBS Sports. You've heard him all year long calling games with Ian Eagle, one of my favorite broadcast tandems in the National Football League. He's set to join us at about 8:30. Right now, we go back out to the phones, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Jupe in West Virginia. What's up, Jupe?
What's going on, Linnell? Hey, I got to remind you of who I am, Timothy Daniels.
Ah! There we go.
Now, listen. Yes, sir. Listen, remember, I called you. I think it was around that bye week. I said we was going to streak the remainder of those games.
You did.
Walk to the playoffs hot and ready like a hot pocket. And let me tell you, them hot pockets still hot, baby. I'm talking about so hot when you bite into them, you got to do the hot.
look, you.
Yo. Now, listen, man, let me tell you. That three-game winning streak, I understand where you was coming from when you was going on your rant. But in my mind, mm-hmm. taking an L is not always a bad thing. Sometimes that refocuses you,
yes.
feel your desire, your fire, and it also brings the team together. And on top of that, there was many of those games where we had to battle it out to the end of the game or overtime.
Yep.
This team is currently battle-tested and war-ready. And for the keys for this game, it's going to come down to Lattimore. Like that first game, you got to remember he was injured for most of the year.
Right.
Well, it was like his second game back, so he had to brush off that rust. He's going to be ready. I got a nickname for him, too. I'm calling him Seatbelt.
Uh-huh.
About to have those receivers locked in, you know, keep him safe from any car accident. and then we also, I know I'm going to get scrutinized for this. It's time for the law office of Payne and Allen to reopen. That
now.
Thing is in hiatus. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's time for them to step up and show out. And I'm going to finish it off with this quote I heard. Pressure does one or two things.
Mm.
It either bursts pipes
mm-hmm.
or it creates diamonds. And right now this team is a diamond in the rough. So we definitely getting that W on Sunday, my guy.
Hey, that's all I got for you. Appreciate you as always, Jude. 1-800-636-1067. Speaking of the law offices of Allen and Payne, one half of the law firm was a man possessed this past weekend. John Allen, 6 pressures, 2 quarterback hits against the Detroit Lions. Should have had another sack. Should have had a sack, rather, if Jared Goff didn't get the football out of his hands. And then Sam LaPorta with just one of the best catches you'll ever see in the postseason from the tight end position. He was a man possessed, man. Cam Jurgens in the middle of Philadelphia's offensive line, their center, not 100%. Was limited in practice all week. He is a guy that John Allen and Daron Payne must take advantage of if Washington is going to have an opportunity this weekend. Eric is in Silver Spring. What's up, E?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
What's going on, brother, man?
Man, I don't like you sounding down when I call.
Hold on,
man.
No, we ain't down. Look, we ain't never down.
I owe you some money.
You said you owe me some money? Hey, look, everybody owe me some money. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Nothing much, man. I just called to say, man, I was first talking to the dude that was screening the calls, and he was like, man, I had mentioned something. He's like, nah, don't say that no more. We beyond that. So I'm going to say this, man. My mm-hmm. attitude is, why not us?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Why not us? And why we can't go up there and do what we need to do? You know what I'm saying? A buddy of mine asked me and said, man, you want to go to the game? And I told him, nah, I'm not going to switch up nothing different I've been doing for the last 2 weeks.
Thank
man.
You, Eric.
First of all, I don't want to go up there. And I don't want to get locked up or I don't want to get jumped. That's it, man. It's either or when you go up there messing with them Philly fans.
Yeah.
If you're getting locked up or you're getting jumped.
Well, that's what happens when you deal with low IQ individuals, Eric. You understand
exactly.
That.
Exactly. So I said, you know what, man? Nah, I'm going to play this one safe, and I'm going to go ahead and stay here, man, do my little routine I've been doing, man. You know what I'm saying? Just keeping calm. But like our last caller said, though, for real, the two bigums up front,
they got to
need to get mad. Need yeah. to play mad. They need to play mad Sunday. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know which – I can never remember which one came back from the injury.
It was John. But, and John, look, and I gave him his flowers at the top of the show, man. The way John Allen's battled back kind of shows right. what this team is all about and how special the group is, man. He knew what it
yeah.
was.
Yeah, because he's not coming back if we're not winning.
Right.
He's going to be – he would have been gone for the season. He'd have been like, man, what's the reason to come back? But now sure. it's a reason for him to come back, man. And, man, look, man, last week, man, I don't know, man. I've been watching Terry McLaurin. Man, was that not the fastest that man ever ran in his life, man?
Boy, he's running like he stole something.
Man, look, man, he separated.
Yeah.
He literally separated from dude. I was like, oh, look at my, look at Terry out there.
Go T-Mac, go T-Mac, go.
Hey, man, I had T-Mac for one touchdown pass and 25 yards. So, man, I was screaming probably as loud as he was running down that sideline, man.
Sure.
But, hey, man, look, man, hopefully Monday, man, or whenever you back, man, I'm calling in here, man.
Yes, indeed.
And we talk about, man, let's get some good jambalaya, man.
Come on, man, I'm ready for it. Appreciate you as always. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. Charles Davis, NFL analyst for CBS and the NFL Network, joins us next. So they're rocking and rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in Charles Liddell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Right now, we waste no time going out to the guest hotline where we find one of my absolute favorites, my pal Charles Davis, who you can catch just about any and everywhere. You can catch him with Iron Eagle on the NFL on CBS. You can catch him on Westwood One with a guy, Iron Eagle. During draft season, you can catch him on the NFL Network. And Charles, if I'm reading your bio right, I know we only got 15 with you. You're born on November 14th?
That is correct.
We're birthday twins.
Scorpio through and through. No way. Are you a Scorpio through and through?
To the day, November 14th, baby.
Well, happy birthday from last year. Yeah. And happy birthday for the future.
For sure, my man. I appreciate you giving us the time, as always.
That is pretty cool.
I know, like, man. Well, that's the reason we click so well, my brother.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you giving me some time, as always, man. I know you're a busy dude. You were on the scene last week for Eagles and Rams, and you got to see that physical freak, Jalen Carter, up close in person. What does Washington have to do and try to slow him down, Charles?
The same as everyone else. You're going to have to make sure you get, you know, you know how, Linnell, these terms just kind of pop up, and then we beat them to death until we come up with something different. We used to say we double-team everyone. Mm-hmm. Right? You got to double him, right? You can't just single-block him. Now, you gotta get two sets of hands on him. That's a term, right?
For sure.
Like, two sets of hands. Oh, you got double team him. I mean, that's what it is, right? So that's a big one. You got double him. Make sure what you are trying to do, that he doesn't have a chance to wreck what you do. Because we do talk about how people can wreck a game, and he absolutely can. And there's so much that he does that doesn't show up in the stat sheet.
Yeah,
like you mentioned, we were there last week. You watched last week. Down the stretch, when the Rams had to have it, he made back-to-back plays that affected the accuracy of Matthew Stafford.
Yes,
and helped finish the game off. And I'm not sure either play actually goes into – well, actually, one does. One was a sack.
One was officially, yeah.
Yep, and then on the fourth down play,
that's just
he beat the double. Yeah. And was in his face, and Stafford couldn't be accurate, and the ball game ended.
Yeah, Jalen Carter has been a problem all year long. Aaron Donald had some pretty awesome quotes about him this week, and that's kind of who he reminds me of, that blend of quickness and power. Washington going to have their hands full trying to stop him.
Yeah, he's a bigger guy than Aaron. Because you remember by the time it was over, Aaron had slimmed down.
Right, right.
And I think it was stunning. Aaron was playing at like 265, 270.
Which is crazy. Makes me think I need to get in the damn gym.
Right? In this day and age, you're like, how did he play that way? Playing inside, and they still couldn't block him and the whole deal. But the one thing to keep in mind with Jalen Carter is that he was probably the number one overall player in the draft. But he slid to nine, if you want to call nine a slide. But he slid to nine because you remember he had the off-field issues where he had to leave the combine and go back to Georgia. Answer questions about the car racing, you know, the car drag racing, all that. And so people passed on him, and then he got in range, and Howie Roseman went up, what, one or two spots?
Yep, and the rest was this.
And nailed him at nine. A huge, huge get. But you weren't supposed to be able to get him past two or three.
No, not at all.
But it was a weird year that happened.
He's been a driving force.
It all went down.
And he's been a driving force to that Eagles defense, Charles. I want to keep it on the Eagles defense for a second here. The chess match that is going to be played between Cliff Kingsbury and Vic Fangio. I had some numbers here for you, CD. In that first matchup in Week 11 on Thursday night, Fangio blitzed Jaden Daniels just 11% of the time on those plays. He had a QBR of 21. In Week 16, the second time around, he blitzed them 33% of the time. Jaden Daniels had a 98 QBR and threw three touchdowns against the blitz. We've seen what he's been able to do when extra defenders have been sent. You're a former defensive back, a great one, at the University of Tennessee, I might add. If you were Vic Fangio, how are you attacking this young man? Because it feels like there's really no answer to solve this riddle of Jaden Daniels, so to speak.
Yeah, I feel like Vic Fangio is going to attack him like a very good pitcher.
Yeah.
Where you're changing speed, you're changing locations, right? You're not giving them the same thing all the time. You're throwing stuff in places where you wouldn't ordinarily throw it. You know, you're taking calculated gambles because your numbers that you brought up, what does that suggest? It suggests a young quarterback who continued to grow.
Yeah.
And the more pressure you brought at him, he found ways to use that pressure against you and hurt you. Doesn't mean you can totally sit back, though. And the reason I say that is ordinarily, Vic Fangio wants to make you continue to make play after play after play after play, and eventually you're going to make a mistake. So instead of giving up five, six, seven play drives, Vic's going to make you drive at 8, 10, 12 plays. And will you not make a key mistake in there?
Yeah.
That's what he was looking for. That's what he looks for. With Jaden Daniels, you might have to pick your spots a little bit more because I don't know if you can totally sit back on him. Because here's the one thing about Philadelphia. We talked about Jalen Carter. We know about their front, Nolan Smith now coming off the edge. But their pressure rate is not as good as you would expect. So just running three or four at you, like I think their pressure rate is probably two-thirds of the way into the numbers, somewhere in that neighborhood, meaning less pressure than you would expect on a quarterback from a front like theirs. So when does he insert the extra player? When does he add that person? I think it's got to be at different times and different surprises because if Daniels gets a beat on you, it usually makes you pay.
I love the way you put it, a good pitcher attacks with the off-speed stuff and throwing changeups. Picking your spots is going to be huge in this one. For Washington, CD, that the second time around when these two teams played in Week 16, Brian Robinson put the ball on the carpet twice, but I thought he was good in pass pro after he was reinserted back into the football game. When you look at how Washington's O-line matches up front with Philly's D-line, do you think Washington stays patient and tries to get that traditional run game going, or do you think we see a lot of what we saw last week, spreading them out and trying to get the football on the perimeter and winning that numbers game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combo played again, but the reason I say that is I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to look at it and not think like we do as fans, where a successful run game is what we see out of Saquon Barkley, where you're going for 200 yards, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we're like, oh, yeah, they're running heck out of the football.
Levels to it.
Yeah, I think for Washington, you don't have to do that. You have to just be efficient.
Right.
To me, you're getting a little more than three a crack. Just enough to keep the pressure tamped down on you so you're not throwing on third and eight, third and ten, that sort of nature. Give Jaden Daniels some opportunities. And we all know if it's close, what's Big Dan Quinn going to do?
He's rolling the dice.
Go for it. Go for it. And they have the highest successful – they have the highest conversion rate in the league on fourth down. They're out of the four teams left, they're number one. And I think they were number one for the season in terms of converting on fourth down. So that's not foreign to them. To them, they are a four-down football team. But you've got to give yourself a reasonable expectation of making it on fourth down. Dan Quinn's not going to go for it on fourth and eight all the time.
Right.
Okay? But if it's fourth and two – there's a very good chance he's going to leave his offense on the field and go. And that's why I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to try and run it from the spread.
Yeah.
And then if he wants to run tight formations, let Brian Robinson pound in there. I think he'll do that as well until he gets it. That sort of a deal, but it does not have to be Saquon Barkley 225-yard numbers. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, indeed, CD. And I get where you're coming from here. When you look at this matchup ultimately – the one thing I think it also comes down to on both sides of the football, for Washington at least, is winning first and second down. Can you stay ahead of the chain, sort of what you're alluding to here, just to make life easier for Daniels and Kingsbury as a play caller? I want to get to this Commanders defense here for a second, though, Charles.
Yeah.
Because let's just be real about it. anytime you force five turnovers, you're probably going to win the football game. I wonder how easy it is to replicate something like that. I doubt you're able to do it 2 weeks in a row. The one area I look at this group and I go, they've given up the most yards per play through the first two games, the first 2 weeks, rather, of the postseason. What do you think their key is to try and slow down this Philadelphia offense? I know we're probably going to talk about Saquon here, but is it just that simple?
Yeah. It would appear to be that simple, but I think that it almost has to be. With Joe Witt Jr. running the defense, obviously Dan Quinn, that's where his expertise is, but Joe gets to run the defense. I think I've got to dare Jalen Hurts to beat me.
Yeah.
They have not been that great throwing the football in recent weeks. In fact, they've been kind of spotty all year long. Part of it is, obviously, Hurts got dinged and missed some time. But, Linnell, you know a passing game isn't just the quarterback. It's everyone involved. Now, if you go through an entire season where A.J. Brown isn't practicing as much because he's trying to make it to the weekend and play.
Right.
If you get Devontae Smith miss, what, 3-4 games with a hammy? If you get Dallas Goedert, your tight end, miss 7 games with a hammy and a knee? You see where I'm going with this?
Right.
Your targets are not getting time on task.
Right.
You're not getting the continuity in practice. They have, though, for the last 3 weeks now, since Hurts has come back, right? He's played 2 ball games. He's practiced 3 weeks worth. It should be better, but it wasn't great against the Rams.
No.
Okay, I know A.J. Brown caught that ball late on the slant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember in the third quarter when he ran the slant inside and the ball was so far on the other side of him? It's almost like it was 2 different calls.
It feels like you get a throw or two like that from Jalen Hurts each and every week.
The one where he broke out on the flag route towards towards the pylon and he's open and the ball sails 8 feet over his head.
Yeah.
It's there. Didn't hit it.
Charles, let me ask you this. How much of the conditions play
into that? To me, Linnell, that's going to be a big part of what it is. And I think that they're going to throw it early.
Yes.
To run it later because they need to give Jalen Hurts those 1st and 10, 8 in the box, throwing lanes. And he needs to be successful putting the ball on people early to get rolling in the ball game.
You were there, boots on the ground, CD. How much did the elements impact the Eagles' offense last week? Because that's the one thing you continue to hear. You turn on Philly Sports Talk Radio, it was snowing.
They ran for about 800 yards, so it didn't affect them that much. I mean, and no one cares.
Yeah.
Like, you got to find a way. I was there. I saw the snow, the whole deal. Obviously, I wasn't. I'm up there yakking. I'm not trying to throw.
Right.
But it didn't seem to me that it was as big a deal as maybe they're making out to, because it didn't affect Matthew Stafford throwing it that way.
Yeah.
There's going to be a thrower or two that's going to get away from you. There's no getting around it. Like Troy Aikman's talked about, he's like, he hated playing in those elements. He hated rain and all the other stuff, right? And Troy's about as fine a thrower of football as you're going to find. So it's going to affect you, but you got to find a way to battle your way through it. And the Rams handled it better in the passing game last week. That's for sure.
Yes, indeed. CD, want to get your prediction on Commanders and Eagles here, my friend. Do you think the Cinderella story continues for one of the most special seasons in recent memory in the NFL?
I think you can make a case for all 4 of these teams.
Yeah,
I really do, that are left in the playoffs. I absolutely do. And it sounds like a cop-out, but I don't think I really am.
That's real.
I think this is where you're looking at it and you're saying, hold on a second. Buffalo did beat Kansas City regular season, which they have done many times before. They just have to find a way in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they have the right type of team, right type of style to do it. And you know it's going to be a tight game because Kansas City doesn't blow people out right now. You flip it over to the Eagles and the Commanders. Well, they split the 2 games, but to me, the best roster of the final 4 teams is in Philadelphia. Hmm. I mean, person for person, I think they have the best roster. I love Jaden Daniels. I love the crew. I just think Philadelphia finds a way to get this done. And it doesn't mean Barkley has to go for 225 either. They have to be efficient running it as well. But I do think they're going to throw it more early versus those stacked boxes, good throwing lanes, 1st and 10. And if Jalen Hurts hits those early, then Philadelphia's offense is off to the races. But if he misses, and they come out the first 2 possessions, 3 and out, you know, not looking good. Things could change pretty quickly in this one, but I like Philadelphia.
Charles, I appreciate you giving us some time, my friend. One more quick one here before we let you go. most folks that you talk to, when we're talking about the top quarterbacks in the National Football League, you rattle off names like Burrow, Lamar Jackson, yeah. Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes. Feels like old number five in the starting lineup is up for grabs. Does the young man in D.C. belong in that conversation right now?
He does, and it's a changed conversation, Linnell. It used to be one of the top young quarterbacks in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think you just say one of the top quarterbacks in the game. I don't think we qualify it anymore because he's done it. He's
special,
done it on the biggest stage twice now.
Special.
You know, he didn't just go in and have a big one game and then the next game they get, you know, twice now. And he has a big effect on the game. This team isn't playing around him. They're playing through him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't say, oh, well, he's one of the top young quarterbacks. No, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the game. And he got there and earned it in a short amount of time.
High praise from one of the absolute best. Charles, I appreciate you giving me some time as always, my man. We'll do it again soon.
I look forward to it. You take care of yourself, and, boy, I can't wait for Sunday. It's going
to
be a lot
say,
of fun
man,
watching
I,
those two.
Look, man, previewing it with you, man. I'm ready to run through the glass here in studio, man. I appreciate
you. Clear the calendar. Give me my couch. Let's go.
Let's do it. Charles Davis, ladies and gentlemen, one of the absolute best. Talking all things NFL. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will let you hear a pretty interesting story about a jersey swap that happened after the divisional round of the playoffs last weekend. That's next here on The Fan. Big thank you to our guy Charles Davis. Always love catching up with him. If you missed any of my conversation with Charles, you were in luck. Use the Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to 8:30 to hear my Commanders and Eagles preview with Charles Davis. He was actually in Philadelphia last week on the call with Ian Eagle for Westwood One. So we got to see the Dirty Birds up close in person. Washington in Philadelphia set to lock horns Sunday. Commanders looking to punch their ticket to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1992. So the stakes don't get much higher for Sunday's game in Philadelphia. They got there by knocking off the Detroit Lions last week, 45-31, and it was an absolute masterclass at the quarterback position from the rookie Jaden Daniels, 22-31, 299 yards and two touchdowns. He was lights out against the blitz, and he had the Washington Commanders fan base absolutely in a frenzy. The DMV was absolutely buzzing this past week. Jaden Daniels continuing to show why he's one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And when you are one of the absolute best, the opposing team sometimes, win or lose, want your jersey. Take a listen to our guy destroying YouTube sensation, telling the story about the hilarious jersey swap last week between Jaden Daniels and Lions defensive back Terrion Arnold.
You know what's funny? I'm cool with Terrion Arnold. He DB for the Lions.
Yeah.
And he told me that he swapped jerseys with Jaden Daniels after the game. And on the bottom of the jersey, Jaden Daniels wrote Cancun on three, 1, 2, 3.
And then he swapped
jerseys. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm putting the Commanders in for the Super Bowl, bro.
Doesn't get much raunchier than that. I'll say this about the trash talking expertise of one Jaden Daniels. You all know who my greatest of all time is when it comes to the sport of basketball. I think it's LeBron James. I think there's no better basketball player to walk God's green earth. But from a competitive standpoint, from a trash-talking standpoint, from just a go-getter standpoint, man, it feels like Jaden Daniels is comparable to Michael Jordan in the way folks talk about him, that uber competitive nature, the trash talking spirit. You can't name me one quarterback in the National Football League right now that looks like he is enjoying playing the game more than Jaden Daniels. Add that to the legacy of Jaden Daniels' Cancun on three. Now, a little bit of a backstory, right? Jaden Daniels and Terrion Arnold, pretty close friends, played against each other in the SEC. Terrion Arnold, a former Alabama corner. Obviously, JD5 played 2 years in Baton Rouge at LSU, so they know each other very well. There was another pretty special moment between those two young men during the game as well. Amik Robertson, the corner for the Detroit Lions, suffered a broken arm during the football game. And Jaden, we talked about just the religious spirit of this football team. Jaden Daniels going over and actually praying over the Lions defensive back with Terrion Arnold. It was a special thing to see, and it shows you what type of man Jaden Daniels is. But you also see our guy likes to have a little bit of fun as well. It feels like we've seen Jaden Daniels laugh at defenders all year long, right? But it felt like the rest of the National Football League got hip to the trash-talking nature of Jaden Daniels in that second Philadelphia Eagles game where they're trying to spike the football before they throw the touchdown to Jamison Crowder, and Jalen Carter tries to smack the football away, and Jaden Daniels points and goes, ha, 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 you're a little bit too slow, big fella. I love everything about this kid, and no matter how Sunday goes, if you're a Commander fan, you have to feel tremendous about the future of this organization, all because of the young man that's under center. I mean, just a rock-solid human being, rock-solid individual. And a little bit later on in the show, we'll let you hear from the mother, an agent of Jaden Daniels, Miss Regina Jackson. There was a lot of discourse online about her comments that she made about his relationship status. We'll let you hear that in the 9 o'clock hour. But the kid's got his head on straight, and he's being led by the right people. So success has got to follow. It's got to follow. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Top of the 9 o'clock hour approaching here at our nation's capital. We'll keep it local. Top of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by my guy Alex Flum, who covers the Washington Commanders for DC News Now. That comes up top of the 9 o'clock hour. We'll also get you my official keys to the game and prediction before we get out of here as well. That's next on The Fan.